Greetings, victims. For those of you who delight in dread, who fantasize about fear, who glorify gore, welcome. You have found the place where the horror returns. Listeners, beware. This podcast contains major plot spoilers and the foulest of language. Join us in celebrating the old and the new, the best and the worst in horror.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Horror Returns. I'm Lance. With me, as always, we got Brian from Alaska. You know him as the Alaskan Barry White. What's going on, Brian?
Same shit, different day.
I hear that, man. That's a common refrain.
weather's getting nice, though. It's about that time for us, so.
Springtime in Alaska.
Kind of like springtime for Hitler, right?
What?
Is that a reference to something?
Yeah. What was that Mel Brooks movie? Help me out, okay. Brian.
You lost
They were
me.
Making a musical called Springtime. It's a musical. Brian wouldn't get into it.
I was going to say, that's got to be a fucking movie or something.
Is it called The Producers, or am I thinking of a different movie? Fuck.
I've never seen that.
All right. And we got Philip in the house from the island of Galveston, thousands of miles away from civilization, with nothing but coconuts to bang together to get Wi-Fi.
G-Town, right? Is that what they call it?
Yeah. I don't know. Everybody calls their town whatever the letter starts with, town.
So. Yeah.
I just watched a documentary about a rapper from Galveston.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I imagine they got a few of them.
It's called the Dirty Coast, right?
I tell you, man.
Or something like that.
Downtown's happening. Dirty. We're way down on the end of the island that nobody knows exists. So
I think everybody knows where Galveston is. After all, we saw that beautiful shot of it at the end of the Blake Lively movie. Shark movie, right?
Oh, so true, yeah.
Gorgeous sands of Galveston.
The water was so clear.
I know. It does get clear maybe 2 or 3 days out of the year.
Maybe, if you're lucky.
That was one of the days she filmed there.
I guess so.
That's it. Well, we drove down to Cocoa Beach Sunday, and it's beautiful. East Coast, so it's rougher water. Philip, you got to come out here and bring your surfboard, dude. Everybody's surfing out here.
I might be too fat for it now. I'm going to have to lose a little weight.
If Mel Gibson can do it, you can do it. Come on, fat man. How was your birthday, Philip?
Oh, happy birthday. I forgot to tell you.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. No, it was great. I didn't fucking touch the phone. I just slept in late, got up, went and shot some guns.
All right.
Came back home. Then we had a baseball game.
Oh, yeah. I can't forget that. Did you show up sober to the baseball game?
Yeah, mostly.
Wow. Okay.
Good enough.
Close enough. All right. What's
we won? I can't. It's all I can say.
what's your cool of the week, Phil?
All right. My cool of the week. I've actually got a few of them this week.
Okay.
So we'll sort of go with the theme of the show a little bit for one of them, which is what is it? What Jennifer Did, I think, is the name of the thing. Okay. It's a limited series on Netflix.
Okay.
And it's, oh, I think I've heard of it.
Yeah. They kind of a terrible name for the show because they sort of give it away. But it is kind of a murder mystery thing, and it was pretty fun. One of those true crime things.
Was it a show, or was it like a docuseries?
No, it was like a docuseries.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it was pretty interesting. And a little twisted and crazy. I like that. And then went over to Amazon Prime and checked out the new Roadhouse.
With Key West, huh?
Yeah. It was a lot. I mean, it was a lot of fun.
a little over the top, maybe.
Oh yeah, I mean, this movie's not winning any awards, and
you don't think so?
No, and I'm gonna forget about it in a year from now. But it was fun for what it was, and they obviously knew what it was, and had fun with it. You know, like All of the actors were kind of terrible, except except Jake Gyllenhaal, and. Right. And what's his nut? Conor McGregor comes in. He's kind of great.
Yeah, look, dude, when you get thrown out of a boat and, like, you go fall, like, 12 stories and land on concrete and then get up out of the hospital at the end and punch somebody or whatever, that's a real man.
Yeah, and Jake Gyllenhaal is a total badass in this movie, and I love it.
He's also a bit of a psycho in that movie.
Yeah. He is a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he is the hero of the story, but if you, like, really take a look at it, he's a little nutty in the head.
Well, the hero's out of gas. Always, especially that hero, because it's kind of an anti-hero, right? He has to have a dark backstory, and so they gave him one, and it's simple and straightforward and fun. There's no twists in this movie.
Do you guys think they're gonna maybe do a sequel but featuring McGregor? Wouldn't that be cool?
I
think it'd be cool.
I'm gonna say there is a sequel, and it will bring back McGregor, but I think they'll bring back Jake Gyllenhaal, because I've seen interviews and he sounded like he had a blast.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. How could he not, right?
I'd watch a sequel for this movie. It's more fun than the Expendables movies for me.
True.
Those I couldn't really get behind them. And then my real cool of the week, also on Amazon Prime, the Fallout series.
Oh, yes. I hear nothing but great things.
Dude, it is so good. It is so good. And
is it that good?
They stick a lot of game stuff in there. Yeah, it's really entertaining. It's got some funny moments, some awesome. Walton Goggins is fucking spectacular in this.
Mm-hmm. He always is.
I'm super excited about it. Like, I'm ready to watch it again right now. So it is for sure my cool of the week.
Nice.
But I had
Brian, you gonna repeat it, Brian?
Yeah, I only got two things. I'm not going to really talk about it much because I think Ned said he wanted to do a quick review on it for the network. And that's the Soska Sisters Festival of the Living Dead.
Festival of the Living Dead. Okay.
So be on the lookout for a review of that coming. But yeah, my cool of the week is same as Phil's, Fallout. That first episode just completely sucked me in.
Yeah. Like, I didn't want to stop watching it. I stayed up till like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that opening 10 minutes of episode one, I was blown away. And then the aesthetic of, it's 2077 when that event happens, but everything is kind of like retro 50s.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's very much like the video game.
Yeah, and then I agree, Walton Goggins as the ghoul.
Mm-hmm. The ghoul.
Top notch.
Well, that sounds
amazing.
Because,
yeah, in the game, I guess the basic backstory is there's a nuclear bomb that takes place. It looks like it's in the 50s, but it's actually way into the future.
Yeah.
But they have, there's some fallout shelters in the vaults. Right. So it's the fallout shelters for the rich people and the scientists and all that stuff. And so they go on living, but there's still people on the surface, and some of them live through it. And this is like 200 years later. And you get people with like extreme radiation poisoning, and they're basically walking zombies. So they're the ghouls.
Pieces falling off.
Yeah, a little bit. Like,
okay.
Goggins is missing a nose in this one.
Yeah, but
he's like an old school cowboy, dude. It's awesome.
that's pretty cool. Now, is he a good guy or a bad guy?
Yet to be determined. He's kind of a bad guy, but maybe kind of a good guy.
That's yeah, cool. I mean, they're kind of alluding to his backstory. Maybe he has a reason to be the way he is.
Mm-hmm. He's the black cat for sure.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I definitely have to go with Fallout as my pool of the week, and I'm going to continue it after we're done recording.
Nice. I've got 3 episodes left, Philip, on Three Body Problem.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, I'm going to wrap those up, and then I'm going to dive into Fallout too, guys.
Yeah.
Too many good things.
The only issue I have with Three Body Problem is where it ended. I kind of wanted it to keep going.
But they've already got a season 2 coming based on the second book in the series, so all will be revealed, right?
I guess so.
All right, I got two cools of the week. I got to give a shout out. We got a screener for a brand new 2024 movie called Bag of Lies. You guys heard about this one?
I've been seeing people post about it, but I have no idea what the movie's about.
Yeah, it's written and directed by David Andrew James. I don't think he's really done too much except shorts so far. So maybe this will jettison him out. It's a classic monkey paws tale where, you know, be careful what you wish for. But in a nutshell, this guy's wife has terminal cancer, and he meets up with a buddy at the bar that says, you know, hey, I've got an idea. Had a friend that did this. I understand if you take this bag and you set it in a room by itself, don't look at it, don't talk to it, and don't interact with it. Just like set it down and walk away. And then, you know, kind of like pray or wish or whatever for your wife to be good. She'll be fine and there'll be no problems. So he fucks up twice. He leaves the bag in the room. The first thing he does is that he talks to it. He sits down and he goes, oh, bag. Please bring my wife back. And I'm thinking, you fucking idiot. And then the next thing he does, he leaves the garage and then he drops something on the way out. So he's like doing this and he opens his eye just a little and sees the bag. So, you know, bad things are going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
But it's pretty cool the way they set it up. I'm really surprised for an indie movie that this one was a lot of fun to watch. It had a lot of twists and turns and like characters. It's like, is that person really there? Or are they not there? It kind of plays with your expectations of reality. So it's available for purchase like everywhere now. I know Apple, Amazon, and all that. So you know, if you want a 2024 movie, you could do a lot worse than Bag of Lies. Check it out. My other cool of the week is not as good as I was hoping it would be, but still a Garland movie. You know what I'm talking about, Philip, right? Huh? Oh, you thought I meant literal Garland.
I was like, are we doing the Christmas movies already? Jesus.
Yes. With AJ around, we probably will be. Have you guys seen Civil War yet?
No.
I haven't seen it in the theater, but I've seen that it's available.
Really?
It is. Yeah. It's not what I was expecting. If you're looking for like an over-the-top, bonk, bonk on the head, political message from one side or the other, you need to go watch something else because it doesn't really do that.
I heard they played it safe in this movie.
They played it very safe. Well, the idea they had, Philip, was perfect because instead of focusing on protagonists that are like on one side or the other, they focus on war correspondents, journalists, right?
Okay.
So Kirsten Dunst is in there. I guess her real life husband is Fat Damon, right?
That was my question. The true question of your little review of Civil War was, how was Fat Damon?
He was fucking
I just keep
phenomenal.
Seeing pictures of him with these stylish pink red glasses on.
He completely stole the movie. I mean, he was only in it maybe 8 minutes.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It was a small vignette, kind of almost toward the end of the movie that he was in. But boy, did he chew up that scenery.
Is Kristen Dunst in it more?
She's in it a lot. She's the main star, and then there's two people that I didn't really recognize that much. Like, they're getting a lot of new, you know, new people in here.
I wonder if she got him the cameo in the movie.
I would imagine so, you know?
He's a great actor, and for you to say he was just basically a cameo.
Yeah, it was a pretty short sequence, but, you know, so a couple things.
We've been making fun of him for, like, 6 years. But he is a great actor.
He is, man. He surprised me in some stuff. I think he impressed me in that Black Mirror episode where he basically fantasized about being Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
Oh, did you hear the next season of Black Mirror? They're doing a sequel to that episode.
Oh, that's awesome. The only thing that'd be better than that, Brian, is if they did a musical episode.
I could be wrong, but I think I did read they're doing a musical episode.
You're kidding me.
Not of that, but.
Okay.
Everybody else fucking does.
Yes, everybody else does. So, look, without spoiling or giving too much away, there's some things I could say that would spoil it that I don't want to talk about until everybody's seen it. But so I don't think it's trying to take a political side, which is awesome. It's great that they're staying like in the middle, like journalists, you know. But I think it's just saying, I don't know, it's kind of maybe a message like, you know, America, snap out of it. You guys aren't that fucking bad off.
Yeah.
Quit bickering about petty shit.
Yeah.
and focus on real issues. And then I think the other thing it's saying is that war is fucking hell. I mean, nobody knew who was fighting who and why, but in certain battle scenes, they're just like they come up across two people that have their rifles and their sights, and there's a sniper up in a house real far away across the field, and he keeps shooting at them, and they're shooting at him. And they come in, the journalists ask him, whose side are y'all on? They said, all we know is he's trying to kill us, and we're trying to kill him. And then that was a great scene, actually. What's that?
Then how else would you know?
It's also bloody as hell, man. It's far and away his bloodiest movie that he's ever done. So, it's brutal.
It's A24's most expensive movie.
I believe it. I believe it. I think
cast alone.
I also heard he's
special effects were great.
I also heard he's quitting directing movies.
Really? What's he gonna do? Right?
Well, we'll talk about him in news, but I think I read he kind of just being in the industry just kind of made him not want to make movies or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking about somebody else, but I just read something. I think it was Alex Garland.
Okay. Well, that's cool of the week. So now it's time for Horror Headlines, brought to you by Brian. Take it away, man.
All right. Before we get to CinemaCon, which just happened, we're going to talk a little bit of other news. Monarch Legacy of Monsters has been renewed for a second season.
Okay.
And they're planning...
I need to start watching it.
They're planning other spinoff series.
Oh, boy.
Are the monsters actually in the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Different monsters.
They're going to have another Kong tooth extraction episode, Brian.
Sure. we've been talking about the 20 years later sequel. I think last episode we talked about Jodie Comer and Charlie Hunnam were rumored to join the cast. Mm. Well, this week the latest rumor is Ray Fiennes is in talks to join the cast also.
So Jax is going to be in there, huh, Brian?
Yep.
Is he going to do that final scene from Sons?
I didn't like that ending.
No, it was kind of a cop-out, wasn't it?
And I felt like he left the club in some bunch of bullshit.
The club.
Like, here, you guys inherit these problems. I'm going to go kill myself.
Yeah.
Well, it's not as bad as the ending of the Mayans, though. And Easy's final fate. That was rough. You guys didn't go that far, did you?
I quit Mines after three episodes of season one.
Oh, boy.
The main guy.
So did a lot.
The main guy, which was in Roadhouse, he was the guy that got by the alligator. I didn't buy him as a biker.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, he's a biker in Roadhouse.
Well, spoiler alert for the end of Mayans, the whole time he's been a fucking fink working for the feds, trying to bring the club down, and so they all corner him and beat him to death, and that's the end of the series.
Oh. Well, kind of got to expect that.
What happens to a rat, right?
Let's see, more 28 years later news, Danny Boyle and Alex Garland, who's also writing the first movie, said this is the first of a planned trilogy. And Nia DaCosta, she directed the new Candyman movie. She's directing the second movie.
Should be interesting. So it's going to be three different directors, I'll bet, right?
Yeah, but I think Danny Boyle and Alex Garland are writing all three.
Well, there you go. So he's probably Garland's probably going to focus on writing then, like we were speculating.
Why do they keep doing that now? That's weird to have like a trilogy planned, but with different directors.
Oh yeah, and then half the time they don't come through.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine with it. If I forgot what movie we were talking about, the Evil Dead. Because Sam Raimi wrote a Bible to go by off the Evil Dead. I think that's why they're so well liked, because they all, even the remake, kind of fit in there.
Yeah,
gotcha. But I'm not cool with trilogies being made when there's nothing to a set thing to go off of, and then you get all these different creative people in there just kind of doing their own thing, kind of like what happened with Star Wars.
Yeah,
Rian Johnson came in.
Rian Johnson. I was going to ask if he's completely different. Brian, I was going to ask you if he's already pinned or pegged to direct the third one in the 28 Days series.
I hope not. I think he's a lot better when he does his own thing.
Yeah.
Not like an existing. Like I enjoy the Knives Out movies.
Yeah.
And that's because that's his own thing. What was it? Looper. I like Looper.
Yes. Yeah. Very good. Brick was good.
Mm-hmm. Correction from last week when I said when we talked about the Ryan Coogler Michael B. Jordan vampire movie, and I said I wasn't sure if Michael B. Jordan was in it. He is apparently rumored to be playing dual roles, so he is starring in it.
Okay. And AJ will be rooting that he's a vampire who takes his shirt off.
I'm sure. I'm sure she'll get a scene where his shirt is torn off.
I mean, why else would you put him in the movie?
latest addition to join the cast is Hailee Steinfeld, which she played in the Hawkeye series for Marvel.
Yep. And the True Grit remake, right? Wasn't that her first big role?
Yep. And Ryan Coogler, who is directing and also writing, said the movie will feature other Southern supernatural gothic elements other than vampires.
Okay.
Like werewolves?
You never know.
La Llorona again?
The movie that was so bad that they now say it's not a part of the Conjuring universe.
No, they took it out?
Even though it has a character from the Conjuring movies.
Very interesting.
All right, CinemaCon happened over the past week. And I think we should, I know we try to plan a lot of group trips, but we should make it to CinemaCon. It's out in Vegas. Sounds like a good time.
When's it going to be? Or did it already happen?
It already happened.
Ah, fuck. That's where we're supposed to go this next weekend, if AJ doesn't get stuck working.
All right. They showed some footage of the new Furiosa movie.
Yes.
And a lot of people were excited about what they showed.
Okay.
They showed some footage of Ishana Shalaman. M. Night Shyamalan's daughter's upcoming movie, The Watcher, and they said it was a very twisted,
Shyamalama ding dong,
very twisted and freaky stuff.
And he named her what? Ishana.
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 Ishana of the Dead.
I'm probably mispronouncing her name.
Probably not. That sounds about right.
Also, there was M. Night Shyamalan. He talked about his upcoming movie Trap and finally gave a synopsis on it. A father and teen daughter attend a pop concert where they realize that they're at the center of a dark, sinister event. So essentially, there's a serial killer that the police are trying to catch, and he's at this concert. Turns out the concert is a big setup by the police to catch the killer.
That sounds like way too much work.
Well, I don't think the actual, like, concert, I don't think the concert's fake. I just think.
Weird.
And the rumor,
the movie's really about Taylor Swift being a CIA agent.
And the rumor is,
oh boy, that's,
we're going to follow the movie from the perspective of the killer.
Mm.
Played by Josh Hartnett.
Oh, I haven't seen him in much lately.
Yeah. From what I understand, and he's the one that takes his daughter to the concert. He's the killer. And he finds out that it's basically a setup to catch the killer.
Okay.
It's cat and mouse game ensues, huh? That sounds horrible. That sounds really bad.
Actually, it sounds, I think it sounds pretty good.
It sounds like the end of Mr. Mercedes, the book. Not the TV series, because
I just like the aspect that the killer knows or finds out that he's being lured to in this event that he's taking his daughter to, where they're trying to catch him, and how's he going to make it out of the event? If he does make it out,
and does he care about his daughter? Right, that's the question.
And you it's M. Night, so you know there's going to be a twist in there somewhere.
The twist is that the daughter was the killer all along.
I know. That's exactly what I was thinking.
That one is coming out August 9th this year.
Boy, he is getting them out again, isn't he? For a guy who said he was like semi-retiring or whatever.
Bong Joon-ho, who did Snowpiercer and Parasite. He talked about his new movie, Mickey 17, with Robert Pattinson. Basically the synopsis of this movie, you guys ever seen Moon with Sam Rockwell?
Yeah, good movie.
Yeah, you guys remember the twist of that movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. You mean with Sam's Rockwell?
Yeah, huh? Basically that, but with Robert Pattinson.
several Edward Cullens, huh?
But I guess we get to see.
It's too shimmery.
We get to see Robert Pattinson die in a whole bunch of different ways.
That sounds like a fan movie.
I know. They're going to love this.
The Tim Burton and the cast from Beetlejuice were there, and they talked about how the movie is mostly practicals with very little CGI. So he's bringing back the stop motion and the puppeteering and the practical effects.
That's nice. Cool.
It's kind of what made the first one, you know what I mean? Like, that stuff is kind of iconic.
I was tripping on acid when I saw it at the theater. That one, and I was also tripping when I saw They Live.
Oh.
Keith David and Rowdy Roddy.
This one was probably the most controversial, at least to me. Blumhouse was there, and they talked about how they inked a multi-picture deal with Lionsgate to reimagine some of their horror movies in their existing catalog, and first one they're doing is the Blair Witch Project.
Eech.
Okay. Ugh. Reimagine, though. Which means they have a little bit of poetic license with it.
It's Blumhouse, though, so imagine Night Swim and Imaginary meets.
When did you become so anti-Blumhouse?
Ever since I started taking shit for giving Night Swim a 6.
That's not Blumhouse's fault.
I'm broken.
It's your fault.
I'm broken now.
You said you liked it.
Can we go back and re-review that one?
Nope.
Without watching it?
It's on the internet.
Okay.
It's out there. Saw 11 gets pushed to September 26th of next year, which I think is a good thing, because they said they don't want to rush it. They want to put out the best Saw movie they can. So I think when they started coming out every year, I think that's when they kind of felt like they were rushed, and the story got convoluted and everything. So
yeah, that makes sense.
So I'm fine with that news. Henry Cavill was there to talk about his new Highlander movie that they're doing. They said this Highlander will go deeper into the lore and will have more action and swordplay, which I'm cool with because he didn't really get any answers on, you know, why they exist and why they do what they do. So,
right.
And he's the main character. He's going to be the Connor McLeod of the movie.
That makes sense. I can totally see that. Okay.
Not Christian Lambert. He is not. So he's just going to be a huge version of that character.
So is there going to be someone to play the Scottish Spaniard? Like the part that James Bond played?
Sean Connery?
Yeah.
As far as I know, the only things that are attached to this movie, sorry if you hear a kid in the background, is Henry Cavill starring in Derek Leitch, that did the John Wick movies, is directing.
Oh, it'll be good then. I think it'll be good.
All right, so they ought to get some real sword play.
They ought to get Conor McGregor to play the Spaniard. I'm from Spain.
I think he has to be the bad guy in everything that he plays now.
You think so? From now on? Yeah. He's the permanent heel.
He's a great villain.
See, I thought he would do a turn, Brian. What do you call the opposite of a heel turn?
Or baby is there face.
A phrase for that? Yeah, I thought he'd maybe do a baby face turn in the sequel, right? That's why I recommended the protagonist.
What he did to the main villain, I guess you could say he can have a turn.
Yeah, I could see that.
But he'd still be an anti-hero, because you can't, the way he played, what was his name, Nux? The way he played that character, you can't be just good. I mean,
He's going to have a scene where he walks into a whorehouse in Bangladesh or something that says, you, you, and you.
Or you just get a scene of him leaving one butt naked.
Yes, walking across the entire town butt naked.
All right, they showed some new footage of The Crow.
And there you go, Philip, your movie. You're anticipating.
People said the action and violence was pretty gruesome.
Okay.
And probably the smartest move, I think, for this movie...
Uh-huh.
Is it's moving from June 7th to August 23rd, which I think that's a good move.
Okay. Well, you know what? Maybe it'll do something.
Yeah.
You're going to give it a chance. I know that.
Oh, yeah.
Just from everything I read, the footage that they showed of The Crow was got a positive reaction.
Okay.
So. They showed a new footage of... Lance's favorite director, Eli Ross, upcoming Borderlands movie, which got positive reaction. They showed footage of The Strangers Chapter 1 and also dropped news that The Strangers Chapter 2 will come out this fall. They've already filmed all three of the trilogy. Not a fan?
No, I didn't. I'm sure it's going to be fine. I'm not a huge fan, dude. I mean, it was cool. The first movie was cool.
You're not a fan of anything.
No, I am a fan of a lot of stuff, dude. They just went to the well too many times on this. We'll see. The jury's out.
They only made two movies. What do you mean they went to the well too many times?
I don't know. It felt like the same movie to me.
You think they need more of them?
I'm fine with it. I like a good home invasion movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the first two were not the same movie, Lance. One took place in a house, and the other one took place over the course of an entire trailer park.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. We should have played that before our trailer park, but then we would have been pulled by Universal.
Okay. Let's see. Halle Berry and Alexandra Aja were there to talk about their new movie, Never Let Go. And they talked about the synopsis, which sounds pretty cool. It's like set in a post-apocalyptic world where people don't go outside unless they have to get certain supplies, and they have a rope tied around them. Think of like that scene in The Mist when they tie the rope around them and then go outside.
Yeah, okay. I could see that.
It's giving me Quiet Place vibes.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah.
And apparently from the synopsis, Halle Berry has two young sons, and one day one of them, because they're always told about what's outside and be careful, but they've never seen anything their whole entire lives. So one tries to test it one day and goes out without the rope, and you get the start of the rest of the movie.
So is Halle Berry the lead in this?
Yes.
Hmm.
But it's Alex.
I can't remember a movie that she was like the lead in that was like really
not awesome. Recently. Yeah, not since Catwoman.
She doesn't do a lot of movies lately. So
yeah, that terrible one with the kidnapping or whatever that was going on.
It was stupid, but it was kind of fun. Stupid.
Yeah, it was fun, but it was like
okay. I'll give Nicolas you that.
Cage trying to pay back some IRS money level movie.
His new movie's getting good reviews, Brian. The new Nicolas Cage.
We're gonna do a Cage Rage soon.
All right.
But this movie's directed by Alex Aja, which he did the Hills Have Eyes remix, Piranha 3D. What else did he do?
Crawl, right? The alligator movie?
Yeah, Crawl.
Well, that one was pretty good. I like The Hills Have Eyes, too.
Mm-hmm.
A few more things. John Wick presents The Ballerina with Ana de Armas. It showed footage of that and confirmed Keanu Reeves is in the movie, along with Norman Reedus.
Okay.
And they said this movie will feature Lance Reddick's final performance.
Okay.
As long as they don't try to CGI Reddick at the end, like driving off in a Camaro or something, you know?
No, they said this was the last project he filmed.
Okay.
Let's see, Five Nights at Freddy's 2 officially coming in 2025.
Why don't they call it Six Nights at Freddy's then?
Because they never had a game called Six Nights at Freddy's.
All right. it'll do the same thing the last one did. Kids love it.
Of course.
They showed some footage of Nosferatu, which got a very good response out of the crowd.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Lance, new Star Trek movie coming in 2025.
Allegedly, they've been saying that for 5 fucking 10 years, dude, that they were going to do another Star Trek movie. Prequel. First, it was supposed to be Quentin Tarantino. A prequel. Oh, so Thor is probably going to be in this one, right?
That's what I'm hearing. It's set decades before the 2009 movie. So,
I wonder who will play young Kirk. Probably Dane DeHaan.
he's got to be 40 by now.
Well, he can do the Orphan First Kill thing. You can do that camera tricks.
Get the huge chair.
Chris Pine with his fucking giant head. He already kind of looks like a toddler walking around.
Yeah.
Let's see. Glenn Powell. He played Hangman in Top Gun Maverick, and he's in the upcoming Twisters movie, which they showed footage of the new Twisters movie, and a lot of people said it's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of destruction in that one. But he is set to star in Edgar Wright's adaptation. Now, they keep putting this in here. Adaptation of Stephen King's The Running Man.
Oh, that could be good.
So it sounds like they're going to go more from the book than the Arnold movie.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it going to be closer to the book? Because the Arnold movie was like nothing like the book.
Because if it was more from the movie, you would just say The Running Man that starred Arnold Schwarzenegger in 1980, whatever. But
right,
they seem to emphasize on Stephen King's The Running Man.
Hmm.
Does Arnold make a cameo?
I hope so.
I would love if Arlen played the game show host.
Yes. Yes! That's, you got it. You nailed it. Brian just did the casting for the movie.
Send me my
check. We are here to bless a running man. Yeah.
Do you know how to run?
Let's see. Transformers and G.I. Joe movie confirmed. So
okay.
There's that.
Dude, that was
scary,
fun, right?
Scary movie reboot.
It's going to be so fucking stupid.
Scary movie reboot. You've got to be kidding me.
That is what they're bringing back, Scary Movie.
Mm. Man, we are
only question is they didn't schedule. I don't think I even heard if the Wayans were even involved in that.
I was going to say it kind of, a lot of that is going to depend on who's in it.
It could be really bad, couldn't it?
It could be really good. I mean, well, it's definitely going to be really bad. But
yeah, but in a good way or a bad way. I got you. I hear you.
Let's see. People at CinemaCon got to see a small teaser of Smile 2. And the synopsis said this time it'll affect a singer at a concert.
There's your Taylor Swift reference, Philip.
She's going to die in the middle of a concert?
If she, that had me thinking, if she dies in front of the, or she, what was in the Smile movie, you had to kill yourself in front of somebody?
Yes. Yes, that's
if she
a
killed
lot of
herself
people.
In front of a crowd, would that affect the entire crowd or just a certain person?
Brian just unlocked the plot of the movie, Philip.
It's like when the ring got a hold of the internet.
Yeah, guaranteed. Brian just saw
it. Wasn't that the sequel, Rings?
I can't remember which one it was, but it was definitely one of them. It wasn't great.
Ouch.
Gladiator 2 footage was shown and impressed a lot of people. So that's coming.
Russell, I heard Russell Crowe lost 120 pounds to reprise.
Okay. I would have probably bleed you.
Sorry. I can't keep a straight face there
for a minute.
No, he still is. They tell him, hey, you got to slim down to be in it. He's like,
ah, fuck yeah.
Let's see. Live action R-rated Last Ronin movie. Do you guys know the Last Ronin comic book from the Ninja Turtles?
Nope.
Oh.
Where it's a post-apocalyptic world where three out of the four Ninja Turtles have been killed.
This is terrible.
Sweet.
And the last remaining one looks to avenge his brother's death, and they're going to make a live action R-rated version.
Who's left?
Crazy.
I think Michelangelo.
Of course it is.
Can they still order pizza in the sewer though?
It's post-apocalyptic world.
There's no pizza. He has to make his own.
Yeah, that sounds like a no.
So no pizza and the death of his brothers could be the reason why we get a serious Michelangelo.
Michelangelo turns to the darkness. Like that first Ninja Turtles movie that came out is still a lot of fun to watch to this day. And it's not like strictly a kid's movie. I mean, there's like some serious moments in there where it gets tense.
Well, interesting you bring that up because I heard a lot of rumors that they're going towards the practical look.
Yeah,
that'd be cool. Turtles. That'd be cool.
I think that's a great idea.
It's going to be very
just think
adult.
What you could do with the suits now, because that was, what, 1990?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Where you could still see their eyeballs through their mouths.
Yeah, that's scary when you're a kid. It's like Donatello ate somebody.
No, there's a scene in the first one where it's like one of the fuck-ups in the movie or whatever. And like Donatello opens his mouth real wide, and you can see the guy's eyes. Still one of my all-time favorites. I love that movie. I'm stoked for this one. Yeah.
And the last two things is Fede Alvarez talked about. They showed some alien Romulus footage, and he confirmed that the movie is mostly practical effects.
Sound like a lot of people are going that way. Then that's good.
Yeah.
And lastly, they showed the crowd there got to show new footage, got to see new footage of Deadpool Wolverine, and were completely blown away with what they saw.
awesome. This is the only Marvel movie that I've heard announced in the past, I don't know how many years, that I've actually been really excited about.
All right.
I think this movie has the potential, because I know they're already filmed or filming other Marvel movies. I think this movie has the potential to have them go change or rewrite everything after that.
I think you're right. If it succeeds like I think it will, then they may change course.
This is guaranteed $1 billion movie.
Yeah.
Billion?
Billion.
Wow.
You got Deadpool and Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
And they said this is not Deadpool 3. This is Deadpool and Wolverine. So.
Sure. Love story for the ages.
Dude, those are my two favorite Marvel characters of all time.
Really? Even to this day, I always liked the Punisher. But not.
Punisher's pretty cool.
Yeah, not necessarily the way they've done the movies, but I like the Punisher from the TV show.
I like Thomas Jane.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a comic with Wolverine, the Punisher, and Ghost Rider.
Oh, wow.
Fighting Mephisto. It was pretty awesome.
I think I've read that one.
it's like a little graphic novel. Familiar. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that was all the news from Cinema. I mean, there was much more news, but the news we would talk about. And apparently, what I heard, they actually show like the Inside Out movie in the Disney panel. They show like 30 minutes of the movie.
Oh, wow.
So they show quite a bit of footage to the people that get into the panels. So.
Yeah, that first Inside Out movie wasn't terrible.
Yeah, but I heard a lot of people were mad they showed that much of the movie.
Oh, I gotcha.
Why don't you just show the whole movie?
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, yeah, you're starting to get into it.
Yeah, you're starting to get into it,
and then it's like to be continued.
That was the problem. I heard people were like really got into the movie, and then the footage ended, and they were like, coming 2025.
It's a fucking cartoon, man. It's probably like you gave them at least a third of the movie.
Oh, yeah, I would say a third.
But that was all the CinemaCon news, and that is all the news for the show.
Philip, you ready to go down to the trailer park?
Let's go.
All right. Me and you going to go down to the trailer park, and Brian is going to bring us the big, the small, and sometimes the very, very weird. What's our first new trailer tonight, Brian?
Well, this comes from Lance's favorite studio, Blumhouse, and that is the remake of 2022's Danish film, Speak No Evil. For those who haven't seen the original movie, a family invited to spend a weekend in an idyllic country house goes from a dream vacation to a psychological nightmare.
I can't think of if I've seen this movie or not.
Well, I know me and Lance have, and we talked about it. So you probably...
I probably have then.
Yeah,
it's kind of hard to forget once you've seen, especially the end of it.
You'll be so mad at two of the characters throughout.
Maybe you won't be mad at them in this one. Maybe in this one they'll do what they have to do, Brian.
Well, by the end of the trailer, I started getting those angry feelings because I feel like there's going to be some dumb choices in here again.
It looks like a shot-for-shot remake, doesn't it?
Yeah. This stars James McAvoy, Allison Frankowski, Mackenzie Davis, and Scoot McNairy.
Okay.
Directed by James Watkins, who did The Woman in Black, the movie with Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe. It
was a great movie.
But he did do Eden Lake with Michael Fassbender. You guys remember that one?
Yeah, that was a rough one. Okay, so it will be a dark ending then, I predict.
Yeah.
If he did that. Okay.
Written by James Watkins, and returning to help write the movie are the writer and director Christian and Mads Toftrup.
Okay. If Lars from Denmark isn't pitching in to help write this movie, I'm not going to fucking watch it.
I'll start it off. It does, from what I remember, kind of look like it has the same exact beats as the original one. But I think mostly I'll be checking this out because I think to play the main role of the villain of the movie, I think James McAvoy was a great choice because he looks unhinged in this movie.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
I'll go see anything that he's in. That guy's awesome.
And like I said,
a bad movie that he's done.
Yeah. And like I said, all those angry feelings started coming back because I'm just like, are you going to make this fucking like the scene in the trailer?
Same decisions.
If I'm vegan and I say I don't eat meat, don't stick meat in my mouth. Well, that sounded bad. Don't stick a bite. You were vegan. Don't stick a bite of a piece of duck in my mouth.
A scotch egg.
And there's just scenes like he's saying goodbye to them. He's like kissing her on her neck like a whole bunch of times, and her husband's just kind of standing there, not doing anything or saying anything about it.
Yeah. When he ran and grabbed the kid's legs and started moving them, I'd be like, this isn't happening here. We're leaving. You grabbing my kid's legs? Yeah. I hardly know you, Scott. You crazy Scott.
So it does have that, and I'm wondering if a collaboration happened with the writers to give you the same beats of the original one, but change things up enough for it to stand on its own. That's what I'm hoping for. What do you guys think?
Yeah, man. I'm like I said, dude, anything with James McAvoy, I'm down. This looks awesome.
Lance?
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it for sure. I mean, I really was thinking, okay, McAvoy's in it. This is actually gonna be, you know, not as good as the original, but like almost as good as the original. But two things have me a little worried. Number one, like I said, it looks like beat for beat. Like they're not changing fucking anything. And if they do that and they do the literal same movie, Psycho style, fuck it. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
And then number two, that fucking Blumhouse name popped up.
Yeah. Right? Well, one thing that I kind of got from it, and this is probably going to go on the schedule, so I'll get a chance to rewatch the original one. I don't remember the kids having that big a role because they look more featured in the trailer.
Really? Okay. Could be.
So
well, good. Yeah, if it's going on the schedule with the old one, because I haven't watched this.
I think you, because I know me and Lance talked about it on here, so I think maybe us talking about it kind of
ringing some bells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. when they went to dinner with him, Philip, when they were all on holiday, and the guy says, he said. I'm from Holland. What's the accent? You do it, Philip. I can't do it.
Isn't that weird? I am from Holland. Smoking a pancake? No.
There it is. That's it. That's it.
Then I see there is no pleasing you. All right, sorry. That's one of my favorites, too.
That's great. All right, Brian, we're going to watch it for sure.
Yep, this one comes out September 13th, Friday the 13th.
Nice, okay.
Looks good, man. I'll go see this one in the theaters for sure.
Good deal. Yeah, I real quick, I this looks a little bit more, I don't want to call Blumhouse movies, well, they are on a lower budget than most movies, but this looked like the cinematography looked a lot better than most Blumhouse movies.
Yeah.
Yes, very much so. Very much so.
Yeah, it looks like it's got a lot of promise. I definitely don't think it's going to suck. All right.
All right, that's it.
On to listener feedback. This week, we shine the podcast spotlight on Final Transmission, weekly horror views from the wasteland, hosted by Sam Russo and Jamie Carruthers. Regarding Tubi Tuesday's coverage of Fungicide, Marcy Papandrea said, Lance, you will love this movie. I imagine. He's a fun guy. Yeah. Regarding Maggie Gyllenhaal's The Bride, Sabrina L. Vorman says she looks so much like Jesse Buckley in this image. Maggie Gyllenhaal. Interesting. Regarding posting of Frogman review on our YouTube page, Sarah Gierski says, thank you.
No problem.
Regarding The Last Shark, Daniel Ryan says, ooh, filet of solomillo. Regarding Godzilla X Kong, Patrick Lear said a picture of Fonzie jumping the shark. Yeah, you well.
Know, I mean, I honestly, I mean, I respect everybody's like opinions on the movie, but I just think what the movie was supposed to do, they did it.
Yeah, like I had more fun with that one than I had in really any of the previous ones, except that last one that came out was pretty fun.
Yeah.
In regards to the I Like It Spooky podcast, Brian J. Godzilla says, thanks for sharing.
No problem, and great name.
Yeah, keep doing what you're doing, right? Yeah.
Regarding Child Eater, Matt Wood says, need this in my eyes.
Child Eater, what's that, Brian?
I've never seen it, but I know it stars, he's in a lot of genre movies. Michael Berryman.
Okay. Oh, okay. Michael Berryman is a child eater? That's a scary thought.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Regarding The Omen, Ron Joseph says, I just saw the new one. Well, damn, Ron, right. Tell us what you thought about it.
Yeah, right back in, man.
Rick Chang says, CGI completely ruins horror movies, which it seems like they're finally realizing. there's something scary about something that is physical, meaning it exists and not just a flat computer image. Yeah, perfectly said. Yeah,
agreed.
That's it for listener feedback this week. Our intro and logos come from Steve Carlton from The Geeks. Original skull artwork from Natsulani. And if you'd like to help us out, please consider becoming a Patreon patron. We'll let you pick the movies for a future show at any amount, and for $5 or more a month, also pick a commentary for a future bonus show.
Okay, announcement. If you're listening, and Brian, we got to put something together to post on all the Facebook groups, but if you become a patron for $5 or more for at least 3 months, and then if you don't like us, fucking cancel or whatever. But every $5 Patreon or patron is going to get a Horror Returns care package. This care package is going to include a Horror Returns koozie, maybe six, because you can stuff the envelope. So you'll probably get like six Horror Returns koozies. You're also going to get your choice of size and style, a Horror Returns t-shirt. We'll throw that in the mix as well. And probably the coolest thing of all, you will get a pop figurine sent to you from a horror movie, an iconic horror movie, pop figurine of our choice. So you'll get six koozies, a t-shirt, and a pop figurine, all totally free just for being a Patreon patron at the $5 level.
Six koozies?
Yes.
You get a whole six pack.
That's right.
No, Ron.
Maybe I'll find a way to see if I can legally have a six-pack sent to you.
Also included is your own unique dick pic from Lance.
Yes. We will personalize it to how you want. Oh, real quick. I forgot to do Texas Frightmare update.
Oh, yes.
Billy Wirth. Of the Lost Boys fame. He was one of the four vampires with Kiefer Sutherland.
Yep.
He will be there along with Juliette Lewis announced today.
Okay. All right. So we will have a presence at Frightmare, folks. Even though the three of us probably won't be there, Nez definitely will.
Yes.
So we will have a presence there. Philip, I know he's asking if you can drive out there for it, dude.
Yeah, I might try to make it up there for a day or so.
All right.
It is May 17th through the 19th.
Yeah, we'll see. Depends on what the kids got going on, I suppose.
I hear you. Baseball, right?
Yeah.
Baseball has been a bit
of a volleyball and whatever else we got coming.
Gymnastics.
We have archery. We have some cancellations.
At Frightmare?
Freddie Rodriguez from Planet Terror had to cancel due to filming obligations, and David Naughton, the star of An American Werewolf in London, had to cancel due to scheduling conflict.
Hey, at least they're staying busy, right? Yeah. Bringing us more material.
But I can't remember the other guy, the one that gets killed, his friend that gets killed by the wolf.
Oh, was that Balky from Perfect Strangers, or I misremembering? Well, is that the Mandela effect kicking in? Okay.
Yeah.
Who was the other guy?
He's going to be there for sure.
The more Weasley, wormy one.
Yeah. All right. On to our featured attractions. It's Psychological Horror Week, and we'll hit it with Gone Girl and The Girl on the Train. Girl's Night. We'll start with Gone Girl from 2014. It seems like it wasn't that long ago, but
it didn't feel like 10 years.
You can't go on like this.
Why, it's not good enough for you?
It's not even close.
She may be the reason I survive. The why and wherefore I'm alive. The one I'll care for through the rough and rainy years. Me, I'll take a lap. And her tears, and make them all my souvenirs. Where she goes, I've got to be. The meaning of my life is she. She.
Stay back, everybody, stay back.
I did not kill my wife. I am not a murderer.
With his wife's disappearance having become the focus of an intense media circus, a man sees the spotlight turned on him when it's suspected that he may not be innocent. Director is David Fincher, also known for Seven and Alien 3.
Really? Alien 3?
Hey, we got to stay horror-related here, right?
Writer is Gillian Flynn, who also wrote the novel. Ben Affleck postponed directing Live by Night in order to work on this film with David Fincher, even stating he's the only director I've met who can do everybody else's job better than they could. On set one day, Affleck changed the lens setting on a camera an almost indiscernible amount, betting a crew member that Fincher wouldn't notice. Affleck lost the bet when, as Fincher brought up, why does the camera look a little dim? There you go.
There you go. True master.
All right. Brian, what'd you think about Gone Girl?
Excellent movie. Excellent story. Amazing cast. Everybody was great in the movie. And I just love the way the story played out. How when the story starts, you're completely certain that Ben Affleck is the biggest piece of shit. Just the way he plays everything off, just so nonchalant, mm-hmm. just really doesn't care. Mm. And then when you find out about Rosamund Pike, when you find out what she's doing in the movie, you're just like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. this movie's giving me the twisty turnies here, because
I didn't
see that coming, and just how just crazy she is, and to the way she's got everything mapped out to I'm gonna fuck with my husband on this day, I'm gonna do this. She has a whole calendar up until the day she's gonna for real like kill herself. Like killing herself was part of the plan at one
point.
That was
the original plan. Like mm-hmm. wow.
I thought everybody was great. Tyler Perry, you know, this is not the way we usually see him, right, Lance?
Yeah.
He didn't put on a dress for this one.
And he played it serious.
Totally yeah. straight, yeah. He was good.
What's his name was just so creepy and gross.
Oh, Doogie!
Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, yeah.
Doogie. Oh, you should read the book. It's we'll go into it later. But the book is that's the main difference. I'll wait till my turn. Sorry, okay. But they could have done a lot more with him. All right.
Really?
Yeah, but that scene in the bed when he gets killed wow. was just
that's amazing.
Yeah.
That wasn't CGI blood.
The way she planned, just the way she planned everything out, how she was giving herself the bruises, tying her hands up with ropes on her wrist just to give those markings and sticking the bottle certain place to give the effect that she was raped. And
yikes.
That is a true psychopath.
And then they add the element of kind of telling you why she's kind of like that, because, you know, she is the character of this book that her parents got rich off of, where the character seems like the parents made it to be a better version of her throughout her entire life. You know, amazing yeah. Amy, this is supposed to be you, but in the book, she would have been married by now and she would have did this by now. And,
meanwhile, you're not.
Yeah. So I just thought this was a fantastic movie. I think it's David Fincher, not his best movie, but one of his best movies that he's done.
That would have been strong words, Brian.
Yeah. I think 7 for me.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, definitely a better movie than this one. But not by a ton. It's a great movie. Lance, what do you think?
Yeah, it's an outstanding movie. So what I did read the book, and yeah, that's the only thing that kind of disappointed me. Fincher did an outstanding job of capturing the book. It was like the perfect, it was written by Gillian Flynn, the lady who literally wrote the novels. So I guess that stands to reason. It was like an almost perfect version, because it wasn't shot for shot. They had a few little differences, like things that you could do better in a visual format versus reading it. And they really took advantage of that. One thing I really wish they had done, and it disappointed me, like if you read the book, Brian, Doogie Howser's character, there's so much fucking buildup, right? So it's not like you get in the movie where like all of a sudden she's kidnapped, right? Like he brings her in and then all of a sudden the doors are locked and all that shit. It's like he does it slowly, like Frog in the Beaker style.
They never did that in the movie. I mean, you got the feeling that she couldn't leave.
Yes.
But that's just something you were just expecting.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't get that she was like locked in. So like in the book, he legit kidnaps her.
Legit. Yeah like okay. She's going to doors and trying to open them, you know, kind of like Misery.
Yeah, because, right? I mean, you get that he's been obsessing over her for years. Right. And he's just been in contact with her constantly, and you get all that, and then you kind of get the feeling that when she goes to this place, his obsession is going to lead to her not being able to leave, but they never go there in the movie.
Yeah, like, for me, it was, I felt like he was obviously obsessed with her, and she could easily manipulate him, and that he was just trying to help her, and she just murdered him in cold blood so that she could get out of this lie that she was stuck in.
He was pretty ineffectual in the movie. Like in the book, he's real sinister. They show all the shit he does to, like, you know, very slowly. Like first he starts coddling her, and then all of a sudden, and then he basically, you know, almost gets to the point where he threatens to chain her to the bed if she keeps trying to leave. So I was a little disappointed with that. And then they also went into a lot more detail on, like, the white trash couple that she ran into at the motel. There was a lot. Yeah, there was a lot more of that, like going into the details of her dyeing her hair. Like, she dyes her hair three different colors in the book. But in the movie, of course, you know, they just have the one. So I mean, I get it. Like, if it had been an eight-episode miniseries or something, they could have got a lot more of that in there. Like, they could have done a whole episode just on her in the house with Doogie.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it's a phenomenal movie. The scene that Brian called out, wow, my heart was racing. All that blood. She was just so brutal. And you guys know my wife, AJ, very well. She hates the C word, right?
Oh.
About three-fourths of the way into this movie, she turns and looks at me. She goes, "What a cunt."
Yeah, so, man, yeah, she's vindictive.
It's a great movie, isn't it, Philip?
It is, dude. I thought it was actually really good. This is it's like a Lifetime movie on steroids, you know.
Okay. Sure.
Except in this one, the woman is the bad guy, and she plays it. I don't know that they could have picked anybody to play that role better than Rosamund Pike. Like, she's good. Just the way that her face looks, you know what I mean?
Like, I
there's
do.
Something about her.
And she's kind of sexy, but like nasty sexy.
But in like a, you know? She's probably a total bitch kind of way.
Exactly. Yes.
But no, I thought they played it really well. I think I'm a Ben Affleck fan, man. I like him in a lot of stuff that he's in.
I think he's kind of milquetoast to me, man. kind of bland. But that's he is a little bit.
I mean, obviously the Daredevil movie kind of sucked, but everything else he's been in, I was pretty happy
when
with.
When he has a good project, he's good in it.
Yeah.
He's directed a couple of great
movies. Yeah, and he's directed some great ones. The Town was fucking awesome. That was... And Wag the Dog was pretty great. I don't think he directed that, but he was in it.
So didn't he win an Oscar?
Did he?
Everybody's yelling at us right now. Naz would know.
Maybe that was for writing Good Will Hunting.
That would make sense, yeah. That would make sense. I kind of want to rewatch
it. I was under the assumption that he was kind of along for the ride on that one. It was more of a Matt Damon thing.
Matt Damon.
There was something, but I think he directed that won an award. I'm trying to look it up. But go ahead.
All right. And you know, he was in all those Mallrats, Kevin Smith movies and stuff.
Yes, that's right.
Loved him in those.
Okay, you're selling me. You're selling me, Philip.
But yeah, man, I it was a great psychological thriller. It was had a lot of twists and turns. You never really knew where it was going next. And it kept you on the edge of your seat the whole time. All right, scores. Brian, what do you think?
Real quick, Argo.
Argo.
That was a good movie.
I forgot about that one.
The film received 7 nominations at the 85th Academy Awards and won 3 for Best Picture, Best Adapted Screenplay, and Best Film Editing.
There you go.
Now, was that about 2010? Was that the year that came out?
That was 2012.
Okay.
A little bit before that this movie one, then. Completely.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Best score... Or not best score, sorry. I'm thinking of the Academies. Score, I would have to give this a solid 7. I thought everything was fantastic. The storytelling, the acting, the direction, the tone of the movie, the music. I have to add the music at certain points. Just kind of put you in that, whatever the situation was supposed to make you feel, like that music that they played at that time. Kind of put you in the situation. And one of Finch's best. Like I said, not the best, I think 7. And I also have to throw, I loved what was the series he did? Mindhunter?
Oh yeah, Mindhunter.
I think
right?
so.
Mindhunter.
Yeah, I think so. It was pretty big show, wasn't it? A lot of people liked it.
Oh, I started watching it after the second season came out, and I just binged both seasons in like a weekend.
And then you were pissed off because Netflix canceled it.
Well, they didn't cancel it. He just said he didn't know when he had time to work on it. And they were like, well, I guess season 3 is not going to happen.
Maybe they'll do it now. Maybe they'll do it later, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I had to talk to Fincher. I don't
is
know
Philip frozen? Brian, is Philip frozen or just very still? He was just still.
I was looking up David Fincher stuff. He did Lords of Dogtown, man. That was a great movie.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No way.
And Love, Death, and Robots, I assume he has something.
Yeah, he had a segment in that.
Yeah.
I'm ready for the third season.
All right. Lance, what do you think?
I'll go a little more. 7.5. It's not Fincher's best, but yeah, maybe one of his top five, you know? I don't know. I'd have to go back through the whole filmography. I don't know if he's ever done anything I haven't liked.
Yeah.
Not necessarily love.
Let's see. The Game.
With Michael Douglas?
Yeah. Fight Club.
Wow. Love Fight Club.
Panic Room.
Love Panic Room.
Zodiac.
Jodie Foster. Love Zodiac.
He did Fight Club?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. That's one of his big ones, obviously, man. His best.
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo remake.
Loved it. Read the book. Loved the movie.
I don't remember.
And did the Social Network?
Yeah, The Social Network.
That might, for me, be kind of
The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
He also directed. I didn't hate that movie.
He did that? I didn't know he did that.
And recently he did that Assassin movie, The Killer, with Michael Fassbender.
That wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I haven't finished that. Yeah, I didn't. We started watching it and AJ got bored, so.
Yeah, it wasn't the most exciting movie there is.
Well, it's more so.
It was good.
It's more so what an assassin goes through. It's just not the killing part. It's like the preparation and the waiting. And
right.
So yeah. It's like I think they tried to. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go 8 on this one.
Wow. Okay. Nice.
It was a really solid movie and kind of a classic. So there's that. And I love the Nancy Grace character.
Yeah,
she's kind of hilarious. All right, so we definitely recommend Gone Girl.
Yes,
I think we all do.
On to the next one, The Girl on the Train.
A teacher once told me I was the mistress of self reinvention. It's like having a secret. And nobody but me knows I'm doing it. I saw her. I saw her from the train. She was with this man. Just for a second.
Let's see, there it is. 2016, my bad. A divorcee becomes entangled in a missing persons investigation that promises to send shockwaves throughout her life. Director is Tate Taylor, also known for Ma and The Help. Huh, okay.
Don't make me drink alone! Don't make me drink alone!
Writers are Paula Hawkins and Aaron Wilson. Emily Blunt would wear bloodshot contact lenses for the scenes in which she's heavily inebriated. She also wore prosthetics on her cheeks to make them look slightly plumper.
Huh.
Emily Blunt's confession in the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting was unrehearsed. Blunt's nervousness and the discomfort is completely genuine. Okay.
Pretty good.
Yeah. All right. Brian, what did you think about The Girl on the Train?
First time watching it, never seen it. Didn't know really what to expect. I do remember when they were first dropping the trailer years ago, how they were kind of trying to sell the movie as on the lines of Gone Girl type of psychological thriller.
Mm-hmm.
So it had me interested. I just never watched it. So I was interested to watch it for the show. And I will say it took a while for me to get into the movie because it had a slow start. But once it got going, I kind of liked where the story was going. Mm-hmm. And at first, it took me a while to get into Emily Blunt's character because I felt like she was doing an accent. And her real accent was coming through until in the movie when she was asking the doctor, "You have an accent." He was like, "Well, so do you." And then I was like, "Oh, that's just what she sounds like." Because I've never, I don't think I've ever heard her use her actual accent.
Really? Yes. Okay. Yeah, she's British.
So that was interesting.
I thought John Krasinski was going to show up at some point in this. I kept waiting for that, but never happened.
I thought the cast was pretty good. We have Rebecca Ferguson, which I kept getting her. I kept confusing her with the other girl in the movie, Haley Bennett.
Yeah,
me too. They looked exactly alike.
Yeah, I thought it was an odd choice to have Rebecca Ferguson's hair blonde the other girl, but I don't know if it was maybe to kind of confuse you, because there was a lot of misdirection in the movie on who was with who and who was doing what and who was where. Which I ended up liking the aspect of the story, because how much of Emily Blunt's word can you go off of, because she's an alcoholic and
drunk constantly. AF half the time.
Yeah, well, and it is a little, like, you definitely got to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, it gets a little confusing at times, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's kind of cleared up at the end when, because she's constantly told, like, when you're drunk, this is what happens. And then it come to find out that not necessarily everything is told to you is what actually happens, so. Which, what happened?
That was fucked up, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the Lifetime movie.
Like, what are you talking about, Brian, when you say, like, not everything's as you remember it or they told you or whatever? Go into more detail. Because that, like, was fucked up, dude. When that, like, twist kind of fucked with me.
The situation with the boss's wife.
Yeah, Lisa Kudrow.
That he got fired because of her outburst at the party, which come to find out when she runs into the lady, that never happened. And she was like, "Your husband got fired because he couldn't keep his dick in his pants," were the exact words. Which makes her think maybe not everything that was told to me happened. And then she starts getting little fragments of her memory back of, you know, okay, maybe it happened like this. And then I think, but the biggest fault, I think, in the movie was just the look of Rebecca Ferguson, because I just kept getting her confused with the other girl.
And I know that was the point, but yeah, I'm like you, it threw me off. Like, I love to look at Rebecca Ferguson. She's a really pretty woman, but I like her as a brunette, you know?
I like her as a redhead. But I ended up getting more into the story as it played out. And then I think the one character I definitely did not like was, what's her name? Allison Janney. She was the detective.
She can be really irritating. Oh,
yeah.
She's like the worst fucking detective. She clearly has something to go off of, whether she's got the right person or not. But she, like, does no investigating. It's like they're always coming to her.
Yeah, and she's just like, "No, it's not that person. Move on. Shut up. Quit giving me those theories." to like, the other guy, and it's like, "Come on, really?
I don't think this other guy killed the babysitter. I think you did. But we're going to do nothing about it. We're just going to let her walk out of the precinct. We're not going to question her."
Yeah, see ya.
So, and then, I don't know. I don't know if it was just the way the character was played, but it's just smug, arrogant, just lazy. I didn't like the portrayal.
World's laziest police detective, huh?
And
we'd all be fucking murdered if she was in charge.
There's an awful lot of them that go unsolved.
And I did like the misdirect with the therapist, Edgar Ramirez.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I thought he had a big part in it, and just come to find out, no. Didn't have anything to do with it. Didn't even have sex with her, just because he didn't want to lose his practice. So, pretty good watch, but not as good as Gone Girl.
That was him on the balcony kissing her when she saw
Yeah, they showed it again later. That she remembered correctly.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think he was kissing her. I think he was
Oh, I got you. Maybe
because when they showed when they showed the is that what finger you use on
Freddy fucker faster.
Yeah, I don't because when they showed the actual version of them standing there, he was just hugging her. They weren't kissing or anything.
So. I got you.
I don't know. It looked like a kiss to me. Maybe I misremembered it. Mandela effect, I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. But yeah, dude, when she wasn't being gaslit by her fucking husband, you know, she remembered stuff even a little bit clearer, at least, you know?
And I don't know, who was that character? Who was the actor? Justin Theroux. I think he played that character great. Because
yeah.
I thought he
was kind of a douchebag,
straight
right?
guy throughout the movie until the reveal happens of how he really is and mm-hmm. manipulates the situation. So I thought he played that character really good.
And he usually plays kind of a hero type, so
and he's not in
used
the,
to seeing him like that.
He's in the upcoming Beetlejuice in undisclosed role.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Lance, what'd you think?
I also read this book. This is a lot different from the book. It's not nearly as well directed. It's not nearly as well adapted. Okay, so in the book, yeah, I mean, you've got the basics. Like, she was just still riding the train even though she'd lost her job. There is, like, more of a hint of alcoholism, I think, in the book. It's like she wasn't as over-the-top, like, falling down drunk. I mean, I think she just got really drunk on that one occasion in the book, if I remember correctly. But like,
oh, in this movie, she's full on filling up her water bottle with just straight vodka.
She's out there.
She's like she's drunk out there all the time.
She plays
bottle this big and fill it with vodka, straight vodka. Really? I'd be
she
gagging,
plays a,
man.
She plays a great drunk.
She's asleep by noon.
She does play a good drunk. Man.
To the point where. Like the scene where she is bleeding and has all these bruises on her arm, and she just naturally just feels like, oh, the bruises are just because I've been falling down again.
Mm-hmm.
Just and it's pretty wild that, you know, come to find out she had prosthetics on her cheeks because I couldn't tell.
Okay, yeah. So there's one of the big differences. In the book, she's actually a super heavyweight, not super, but she's like a heavyweight chick, right? So she's like fat. Let's call it what it is. She's fat in the book and like not attractive at all and get like acne and like a lot of the time she'll like read a book until she's, you know, she'll start drinking after she reads the book or while she's reading it. But I don't remember in the book. See, I don't remember the book as well either. I don't think it was as quite as well written as Gone Girl was, but I don't remember her downing a whole fucking, you know, 32-ounce bottle of vodka. Like, with no mixer and nothing? Really?
Well, she wasn't downing the... just drinking out of her water.
Sure,
yeah.
Ryan. Yeah, sipping. Okay. Well, you know
well,
what?
Well, you made it seem like she's just taking the bottle to the head.
Well, that's true. Okay, fair enough.
Beer bomb.
Bad description. All right, let's just say by the time she got from, like, fucking New York City to fucking bumfuck Connecticut or whatever... She was fucking gone with the wind. Can we say that?
Yes.
I don't know, guys. This was a bit Lifetime-ish for me. This was not Gone Girl. This was not an incredibly well-directed movie or incredibly well-acted movie. God forgive me, because I know everybody out there is an Emily Blunt fan, and she's okay. But it wasn't that great. It definitely wasn't
well,
as good
what,
as...
What is she bad in?
What is she outstanding in? I mean, Quiet Place, she's just there. What else has she been in? Fuck, I don't even know.
Oh, I have to put my foot down on A Quiet Place. She's
go
not
for it, dude.
There.
I'm listening. I'm listening.
She holds,
I'm
she
listening
holds her own.
To The Quiet Place. Go
she
ahead,
she holds
Ryan.
Her own in those movies, especially the second one, because there's no John Krasinski in that one. You waving hi to me? What are you doing?
What do you think, Philip?
Well, What are her other big roles that she's been really fantastic in?
I can't think of
in?
Any. That's
well,
the problem.
Well, you say she's bad. What is she bad
Let me
in?
Look it up. No, I didn't say she was bad, did I? I didn't
you
say
were,
she was great.
You were alluding. Well, not great is closer to bad than...
She's Ben Affleck.
Oh, God. Edge of Tomorrow, Devil Wears Prada.
Edge
Devil
of Tomorrow,
Prada, she, was a fucking
she kicked ass and she looked good in it.
Oppenheimer. Okay, Oppenheimer. She was pretty good as the wife.
So I think like Phil said.
Oh, she played Mary Poppins.
Oh, well.
Which I heard she did. I've never seen it. I heard she did a good job.
She looks the part.
I think
it wasn't good. It wasn't good.
Uh-oh.
Well, Lance, you don't like, there's a whole lot you don't like. And I think Phil's kind of hit it on the head. Maybe she's like Ben Affleck. Maybe if the project's good,
okay, she's going to be good. Maybe she needs to direct then. Try her hand at directing. It works for her husband.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean it's going to work for her.
True.
It might. It wouldn't surprise me if she was a good director. But we'll see. So I had to watch this one twice.
Oh, and no!
And I'm pretty sure I've seen it before. I just can't remember. But I started watching.
A lot of details, right?
Yeah, I started watching it, and it was pretty late, and I fell asleep during it. Because it kind of lulls you in that first section of the movie. It's real slow.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, once it gets going, if you're paying attention to it, it's kind of exciting. But it is very Lifetime-y to me. This is like a high-budget Lifetime movie, you know? Like, if they could get Emily mm-hmm. Blunt to come in and play. But having said that, I kind of like those Lifetime movies. Yeah. It's a good murder mystery. It just wasn't super spectacular for me. It's no Gone Girl for sure.
Right.
I probably won't be excited to watch this one again. Gone Girl, however.
For the third time?
Yeah, Gone Girl, however, I will watch it. But I did sit down to watch it the second time because I wanted to, because I didn't know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like wake up and see something going on, and I'm like, ah, fuck this movie. Mm-hmm. And then when I watched it the second time, I was actually paying attention, and it was a pretty good time. So it wasn't bad, but it wasn't awesome. Kind of just.
It wasn't bad, but it wasn't awesome.
Yeah,
that's a good way to put it.
You know, because like, you think if I think psychological horror, my mind goes to like Kiss the Girls or Seven, stuff like that. And this is not that for sure.
Yeah. Or Fatal Attraction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which those will be coming in our next psychological.
I thought they might be.
Okay. All right. Scores. Brian, what'd you think?
Just because, like you said, just that lull in the beginning, because it takes a while for the story to actually get going. And there was some characters. I don't know if it was the way they played it or the way they were supposed to be played, just kind of irritated me.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to give it a 6. I do like Emily Blunt's portrayal of this alcoholic that kind of gets into the situation. You don't know what to go off of her word or not. I like that. I thought there's a lot of good names in here in the cast. I mean, we didn't even talk about Luke Evans, Lisa Kudrow, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. I didn't even know they were in. They have bit parts in the movie, but you know, they're in there. So it was cool to see them in there.
Yeah. Lisa Kudrow is really only in it for maybe 2 minutes total.
Yeah. Cause I seen her name in the credits and then,
yeah,
after a while, I just forgot about it, and then she pops up, and I was like, hey, it's Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah.
And then she's gone.
It's like Bobby Boudreau. Lisa Kudrow. Sorry. No, that's Bobby Boucher. Never mind.
Yeah.
we were going to let it go. But.
All right. Fair enough.
But yeah, it just took a while, too long for the story to get going. That's why it's such a low score for me.
All right, Lance.
It's not terrible. It's a 4.5. It's almost at the halfway point. Lifetime-ish. Very Lifetime-ish.
Yeah, very much has a Lifetime plot. I'm going to go 5.5. I think it's a bit better than
nobody's blown away, right?
Yeah.
But nobody's pissed either.
So. No, I'm not mad that I watched it, but it was I watched Gone Girl first, and then I watched this one.
Yeah.
I should have done that in the reverse order. Because that one blows this one out of the water.
I think it's a good story, but it just wasn't executed right.
It's like a little convoluted.
The police work in the movie, because with these type of movies, you know, you like Gone Girl. We didn't even talk about that aspect of, I can't think of the chick's name, the one from the Fear of the Walking Dead who played the detective in Gone Girl.
Kim Dickens.
She was investigating. She was finding out before Ben Affleck was finding out the little clues to the scavenger hunt thing. Yeah. His wife left him. She was already a step ahead of him. In this movie, Emily Blunt's character shows up at the same time as Luke Evans' character getting questioned by the police, and fucking nobody says anything to her. They just let her turn. She walks up and then sees the police, turns around and walks away. Suspicious? Yes. Does anybody stop her?
Just a little bit.
Hey, maybe we better question that chick.
Right?
All right.
Okay. As always, we want to thank you guys for listening to another episode of The Horror Returns. Do not forget, spread it to all of your friends, guys. The contest is on. $5 or more, at least 3 months in a row, and then you will get your prize package, I promise you. Not going to wait a year like we have in the past. So it's going to be 6 koozies, 1 t-shirt. You tell us the size, and we'll send it to you. And a pop figurine of our choosing, but it will be a horror icon. So, guys, become a Patreon patron. It pays to be a Patreon patron. Next week, Brian, going back to the theater, aren't we?
Yep.
It's vampire or little girl vampire week. I don't know. What would you call it? Is that as good as any? I don't know.
I don't know. My daughter asked me to go watch this movie, though.
It looks great. It looks fucking great. All right. So we are going to check out the brand new Abigail, but also Let the Right One In. So, Philip, until the horror returns again.
Good night.